Hello, this is the Dr. Paul Show. I'm Dr. Paul Corona, coming to you from sunny and beautiful Orange County, California. Best way to get a hold of me is through my website at drpaulcoronamd.com, that's DR per doctor. And we are today going to be continuing on the series on anxiety disorders. And I thought today I would make a topical talking about the dreaded coronavirus. So let's start the show. So obviously, this is huge in the news right now, causing a lot of problems. I told my virus to behave itself. It's just not listening to me. And it's being a very bad, very, very bad virus right now. So apologize to people out there about this. Seriously, though. The reason I'm talking about this today, obviously, it's topical in the news, but this is a really perfect example of anxiety run amok. And so I've been listening to a lot of news, been reading about this, and really this is, obviously, I don't mean to belittle the situation, because it is a virus that isn't a mild cold, but if we look at if we keep it in perspective and really look at it, it really looks like it's more similar to a flu virus, and I'm sure you've heard these kind of things before, so. But, I think that the flu virus, when you put it in perspective, has killed already like almost 20,000 people this year. It kills tens of thousands of people every year. It kills tens of thousands of people every year. But if they had enough attention to the flu virus, and if they started to talk about new cases and deaths in certain parts of the country, I think the flu would also create a massive panic. So why is this virus creating such a panic? Well, several reasons. Number one is the news. It's making all the news. It's, you see it everywhere. You look at news or read about it. And obviously you're going to see the financial markets are tanking and causing just a lot of mass hysteria. And we've been talking about anxiety disorders, and this is obviously a major anxiety for right now for a lot of people. But also it shows also how anxiety can become a bit irrational. Like we've talked about, we can't rationalize with anxiety. If someone's anxious about something, you can't reason with that necessarily. Just like the example I gave about flying, even though it's the safest form of transportation, people who are afraid of flying are afraid of flying, no matter what you say. Just like the people we talked about who run to the emergency room every time they have chest pain, thinking they're having a heart attack, or they're running to the ER because they think they're having a stroke because they're dizzy. And then they get sent home and they told you're fine, and they're fine until the next time it happens, and they go again. So this is a really perfect example of something that is obviously real, and we know that where it started, we know how it's been spread certain parts of the world, but really, think about it, it's a virus, and for what we're seeing so far, the death rate is probably less than 1%, which is similar numbers to the flu. Now, there's been worse viruses out there. The H1N1 came out, killed thousands of people. The Ebola virus. So it's not as serious as those are, but it's more serious than the common cold. But when you look at the numbers, the majority of people who get it, they get sick, they get better, and the death toll, it seems the average age of death is 80 years old. And so it seems that the people who are sickly and elderly, especially in the nursing home type environment where there's a lot of people, that might be where the risk is really the greatest. But what are we seeing happening now? Obviously there's travel bans now, But what are we seeing happening around the world? There's mass panic, and it's really gotten a bit crazy. And so people are going to, my wife went to Costco the other day, and she said they're sold out in toilet paper. They're sold out in bottled water. They're selling out on rice. And so it's almost like people think it's like an Armageddon happening, or it's just like we're preparing for the end of the world. So how does a virus get to this kind of a level? Well, because of anxiety. Because when anxiety starts, doesn't matter how much you can reason with it, you know, anxiety is going to happen regardless of what we say, regardless of the proof that comes out, you know. And even though, you know, we're seeing it pop up in different parts of the world, especially Europe, probably because a lot of traveling into Europe and not very restricted, and that probably made it worse. But you know, when it gets to the point where, you know, they're closing things, closing down schools, they're closing down, the NBA is not going to be finishing the season. It's, you know, I think it just gets a bit extreme. I don't mean to be insensitive to the fact that I don't think that it's serious for some people, but I think it's just gotten out of hand. And I was talking to my son the other day, and he's like, "Dad, toilet paper." And I go, "You know, how can you explain why are people like stocking up so much on toilet paper?" I mean, the only thing you can think is that the people are going to hold themselves into their house. They're not going to leave. But if that's the biggest problem people have, is they're going to run out of toilet paper, you know, that just, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. You know, in my building I'm at now, my wife and I, this morning when she dropped me off, we saw a woman coming out of the building with about 3 rolls of toilet paper under her arm that she was taking to her car. Don't know the woman. And I could only surmise that with my wife that maybe she went to the woman's bathroom and just took toilet paper because they're running out of other places. I mean, think about this. This is really getting out of hand at this point. And rice, you know, people are stocking up on basic food goods. What do they think is going to happen? I think people obviously need to be mindful towards, you know, basic hygiene. You know, maybe we avoid shaking hands as much right now. Maybe we wash our hands frequently. And, you know, so some of the maybe higher risk type of things, we can curtail a little of that. But when it gets to the point where mass panic is starting and stores are selling out of cleaners and Lysol and wipes, and then people are going online and buying masks and gas masks, and so when people are starting to do this, it's really, like I said, people are thinking about, you know, the world might be ending, or that this is, you know, this is it, this virus is going to take over the world. And I strongly believe that's not going to happen. This virus will pass. It will do the damage it does. 99%+ of people will get to have it, will get a little bit sick. Most people mildly sick, like a cold. Some people with high fevers, but they get better. And, you know, in this country too, if you get really, really sick, you end up in the emergency room or you go to the hospital, you get IV fluids, you get better. You know, maybe you're dehydrated, they hydrate you, you get better. You know, in some countries like such as China, maybe that's not going to be as available. So maybe with certain countries, you know, the people who have died there, maybe it's because the medical care is not at the level that we have. And so they don't have that option of getting more advanced treatment, since you know, the medical care in this country is more advanced than China and many other places too. So, but this is, again, an example of anxiety. And anxiety, when it starts and the ball starts rolling, it's very difficult to stop. And, you know, similarly, as I've talked about with people who have anxiety starting to look things up on the internet. So you start going on the internet, that's a recipe for disaster right there. Because on the internet, what are you going to see? You're going to see people with paranoia. We're going to see people with all these theories. And so you start reading too much into these things, and, you know, it just increases the anxiety you already have, which is also what a problem I've seen with people looking up a medication I gave them and trying to figure out what I'm doing, and then they read stuff that's doesn't apply to them. It sounds scary, but to them. But again, if they already have anxiety, that's the last thing they need to be doing is worrying about the medication. And you know, and I think again, when it comes to medications, people who have anxiety, of course, they're going to worry about getting side effects, etc. So I try to explain to them, here's the deal. Here's what you might feel. Here's what call me if there's any problems. And most people are reasonable. Most people will do it and not really think too much into it. But that's the issue with anxiety. And it's the most, again, is the most common thing I see in my practice. And it's the most impactful disorder that I see, pretty much. Bipolar disorder can be very impacting, of course, too. But anxiety disorder it really causes a lot of distress, because when people feel anxious, they don't feel good. Their bodies don't feel good, their mind doesn't feel good, and so anxiety is a big deal. And since it's the most common thing we see in this field of medicine, there's so many cases out there of people with anxiety that really could get treated, but don't. And so, but what I've seen in my practice since this virus started, actually business has increased because people are coming in. And they're afraid, and thankfully they're not too afraid to come see me. But it's palpable out there. It's really, the fear out there is palpable, and the damage it's causing is mostly going to be financial, because people are going to be really hurting financially. I think that's going to make more of an impact on people overall than actually the virus does itself. And the virus will do what it does. It'll have a season. It'll go away. And then we're going to look back at this and say, well, we probably overreacted. But I understand when they're trying to close things down, they want to make sure that there's crowds, that it doesn't spread. I get that. But I think when it starts to affect your day-to-day life, where you're afraid of going places, you're afraid of doing things, that doesn't improve your situation. Your quality of life goes down. And because there's a lot of people, a lot of people get stuck at home. We talked last show about agoraphobia and panic disorders, and anxiety can be just so debilitating that it gets people stuck. And when people get stuck, they want to maybe stay in their safe place, which is usually going to be their home. And so people really have a difficult progressing in life when they get stuck in anxiety. And with this situation with the coronavirus, it's ratcheted up to a whole new level. We did not see this kind of panic and mass hysteria with the H1N1 virus. We didn't see the mass hysteria with the Ebola virus, which had a 60-65% mortality rate. We haven't seen anything like this. I mean, maybe 100 years ago, the Spanish flu in the early 1900s, people were being quarantined, et cetera, but that was like 100 years ago. But since then, even despite all the things that we've seen and all the viruses that have come, and we've never seen this type of mass hysteria. And it gets to the point where it's so irrational. But you can't rationalize with irrationality. When you try to explain to people that this is not being rational, they don't get that. When they're in that, stuck in that anxiety mode, they don't see that. And I do have a couple patients that are quarantining themselves in their places for 2-3 months, and they're not going to leave. And despite my kind of nudging them to I think this is going too far. I think you should just, like I said, I mean, no matter what I say, when someone gets to that mode of anxiety, then there's really not a whole lot you can say to the person to convince them otherwise. Some people afraid of running out of medications, so they want to stock up on months worth of medications. Well, again, overboard. Medications aren't going to disappear off the shelves. They're going to still be there. And I understand there's concerns about China and supplying things for pharmaceuticals. But, again, I think at the end of the day, this is going to pass, and we just need to calm down a bit. we need to calm down the rhetoric, and we need to just live our life like we normally do, and don't let this paralyze you. Don't let something like this change your life dramatically. You may not be taking a trip to Europe right now. You may not be doing certain things that are maybe a little higher risk right now, and that's understandable. But again, people, healthy people otherwise, quarantining themselves for fear of even getting out there and catching it is a bit over the top. So another example is the vaping scare. Now, vaping is, you know, it's, there's no question it's safer than cigarettes. But when you hear about these new respiratory issues with the vaping, what it comes down to is that it's vaping with the products that are black market products. So they're using chemicals in there that regulated type of vaping supplies don't have. And so, but the fact that you're hearing these things, then all of a sudden the broad brush is painted that all vaping is bad, that, you know, so vaping has gone way down. And again, ideally, the people shouldn't be on nicotine at all. Nicotine is a bad drug. It's very addictive. It's not good for you. And it's very, very difficult to stop it once you start. So, but there's no question switching from smoking to vaping is safer. Absolutely. No question about it. And I'd rather people can get off vaping. And we can do that if we can treat the anxiety, then there's a more of a chance that someone can stop unhealthy habits. But that's another example of just, you know, you hear the news, and then reason goes out the window, because all of a sudden that, you know, so what are people going to do? They're probably some of them are going to go back to smoking cigarettes, and many of them are not going to stop. So, but they have to realize, okay, well, I have to get my supplies from a legitimate made products, and that's that. But that's being reasonable. And when it comes to anxiety, reason goes out the window sometimes. Not all the time. Now, people with anxiety disorders, it doesn't mean you can't reason with them at all, because people do respond to reason often. But when it comes to anxiety disorders, it can lead to that irrational component that is very difficult to rein in. And like I said, this current panic about the coronavirus is a perfect example of what can happen once. And a funny note, I mean, is Corona beer sales are down. I mean, I know people have been reading about that and have been asking about that, but literally, I think Corona beer sales are down 30-40%. Are you serious? I mean, do people really, really think that you drink a beer with the name of the virus that you're going to get the virus somehow? How nonsensical is that? But there's an example. I think there was people making jokes about Corona beer related to the virus. And all of a sudden now people make the association with that and the virus, and pretty amazing. I mean, think about this. This is really, and toilet paper. I mean, toilet paper, really? That's your concern? You're going to run out of toilet paper. So you're going to buy out. So, you know, I mean, people are having a hard time finding cleaning supplies and basic items because of the panic, and people are stocking up on these things. And so it just, you know, it's really getting to the point where we need to just, again, calm down the situation, and we're going to be fine. We're going to get through this like we get through. We've gotten through other things in the past. We're going to get through this. And, you know, and I think the media just typically makes things worse, because the media is a bit histrionic often. They basically paint the doomsday scenario, and people listen to that. When it's very powerful, the spoken word, especially when it's broadcast, is very, very powerful, and people believe it, and people are very affected by that. And so, and I think, you know, in an election year, I think a lot of political issues involved here. A lot of people trying to use this in a way that's going to help them politically, which is really wrong, because really this is not a political issue at all. This is a a health issue, but it's a reason issue. This has to do with being reasonable and looking at this, keeping this in perspective, and realizing that it's a virus like other viruses we see. And like I said, from what we see so far, it looks like the flu virus is probably more deadly than this. And do we see people closing things down and not traveling because of the flu? No, people realize that the flu season is serious. People die from it, and you know we have to have precautions to prevent it. And most people do. And most people who get the flu don't die from it. The majority, like I said, less than 1% of this virus, the coronavirus, and the flu actually die from it. And it's sad when it happens. I have had patients and parents. I've heard of deaths happening because of the flu. So of course it can happen, but the odds are remote. The risk of an average person is very, very low. Even if they get the virus, it's low. So, you know, and if you don't get the virus, you know, most people are not going to get it. And if you get it, you know, majority of people may not even know they have it. They may have some symptoms or think it's a common cold, it goes away. Maybe they have the virus, and now maybe their body's developed immunity against it, and so now maybe not get it again. But this is the type of thinking that we really need. We need rational thinking, and we need to reduce the paranoia, the hysteria that anxiety can cause. Anxiety is a serious issue. I think anxiety is the bigger issue than the virus, because the anxiety disorders are so common, so many people have it, and so few people treat it properly. And so next week, I'm gonna start talking about treatment of anxiety disorders. But I just figured today was a good time to really bring this up because of the fact that it's so problematic right now. What I'm seeing is just getting so out of hand. And I have my two kids are graduating from college, getting bachelor's degree in May, and now there's possibly not going to go to possibly graduation is going to be canceled, and so classes now are going online. Both of my kids' classes are closed down for the rest of the school year, and there's just everything's going online. So it's really this is the stuff that's affecting people on a daily basis, way more than the virus is going to affect people. The people are going to be affected financially because businesses are going to hurt, and not only airlines, not only hotels and everything, but a lot of businesses are going to be really hurting because of this. And plans like weddings are being canceled, and the, you know, events are being canceled. The music festivals are being canceled, and just, again, has this ever happened before, ever, with anything like the flu or even the previous H1N1 or anything else? Has this ever happened with any of those? No. Why? Because with those, we didn't have the level of panic and anxiety, and we didn't see the stock market crashing because of this, and we didn't see all these, you know, closures and travel bans. And so I think it's just, hopefully, this is the peak of it, the hysteria, and hopefully it gets better. I think hopefully as news comes out and as people realize that people who are getting it that they know are getting better. And I think once the mass hysteria stops and the rational thinking comes back, I think we're going to be fine. I think hopefully it won't take too long, and because it's, you know, people are really being impacted right now in the very negative ways, psychologically, which is medically, and their lives. People's lives are being altered because of this, and it really shouldn't be happening to this level. So that's my take on things. And so anyways, to get a hold of me, if you want to hear any more about this, or I'd love you to contact me if you have any questions, if you'd like to give me any future ideas for future shows. I'd love you to go to my website. It's drpaulcoronamd.com. That's DR for doctor. And let me know your thoughts. Let me know what you'd like me to talk about in the future. I'm going to be addressing many subjects coming up. After I finish up with anxiety disorders, we're going to talk about ADD. We're going to talk about addiction. We're going to be talking in the future about bipolar disorder. We're going to be talking about, in the future, personality disorders, which is a very interesting topic. And my books, my second book, I have a chapter called Stress, a chapter about stress, and I have a chapter on anxiety disorders in my second book. My three-book set, Healing the Mind and Body, the trilogy, is online on my website. And I urge you to get that because there's a lot of information in there. So if you want to read more about anxiety disorders, read that chapter. I cover all this and more in that chapter and in the book. Because anxiety, really, I talk about throughout the books because it's such a huge issue. So anyways, but it's on my website. The price is down. I'm going to be personalizing and mailing them to you. And I really urge you to look into that. And on my website, there's other things to look into. And I have my podcast there. I have a lot of information about my history. I got a lot of information there about my history and my training and practice philosophy. I have testimonials. And so I would like to wrap up now. I'd like to thank my producer Paul and my assistant Fabiola. Remember to learn from yesterday, live for today, and hope for tomorrow. Just remember, if you have an anxiety disorder, there's help for you. It may not seem that it can be helped. It may not seem that medication seem to be the right thing for it. It may not be. There are other things to do, but just know that there is help out there. There is hope. The fact that you have this is not your fault. You didn't ask for it. There's worse things to have, and there's better things to have, but at least this is treatable, and at least we can do something about this. So I urge you to contact me if you'd like to be seen, or I could maybe refer you to someone else I know if you're not in my area. Or maybe you can come to my area to see me. Yeah, I'd love to help you and your family and your friends, and that's why I'm here. I love what I do, and I will be talking to you next week. Have a great weekend.